stay. No, you stay. Stay. You stay right there. You stay right there. Do not. I'm taping.
I really hope that's Lenny.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Le Batard. That's Mina Kimes and Pablo. I hope she was talking to her dog and not her husband. Let's get started.
Should we all overreact to the decrepit old Tom Brady forgetting the downs at the end of last night's game?
All right, that's really disrespectful. Like, this guy has been a champion across a couple of decades. He is 43 years old, and last night he's trying to play against a Khalil Mack who is a monster and will cave in your entire offense no matter what age you are. So I understand that this is a diminished version of him. How could it not be? He's 43 years old. He's a little bit diminished. This is going to happen once in a while. And occasionally he'll give you the brilliance of the second half he gave you last week before this after throwing a pick six.
From a football perspective, we should not overreact to anything. The Bears defense is excellent. A number of Bucks made mental errors. They really killed themselves with penalties all game. It was Thursday night. To me, what's more interesting is the question of why it felt so delicious to watch Tom Brady make that sort of mental error at the end. The easy explanation is because we are all a bunch of haters. Tom Brady is a winner. Seeing him make a mental mistake fills the emptiness in all of our lives. Human, if he was still human. In New England, I would have said that with a Boston accent, but luckily he's in Tampa Bay, so I'll spare
Thank
you.
God.
But I actually think it's a little more complicated than that, because earlier in the game, Dan, you may have noticed Tom Brady reaming out his teammates on the sideline. So to me, the schadenfreude was less about Tom Brady failing and more about him getting his comeuppance, right? Like, we've all had a boss do that, and seeing him fail at the end was weirdly kind of satisfying given what he did earlier in the game.
Wow.
So I understand why it's delicious that not only did Tom Brady become J.R. Smith, this was basically LeBron becoming J.R. Smith. Like, that guy became that guy suddenly. That's a lot to process. It's also funny that Tom Brady apparently, every day, according to a 2017 Sports Illustrated article, cycles through 29 brain games on his iPad to keep his memory sharp. And so it's all funny, right, from that perspective. But Mina addressed it from a football and then psychological perspective. I want to address this from a Dan perspective, because Dan is the guy who, like, said Tom Brady was falling off a cliff like 5 years ago. And now suddenly he is finding empathy. And I wonder if that may be due to the fact that yesterday Dan called Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses, Dylan Thomas, you know, the Welsh poet. And is also the guy who routinely mistakes memes for real life events. So I just think that Dan is probably relating to J.R. Smith more than he ever has at this point.
Wow. I think that was an inside joke inside of an inside joke while we were talking about Tom Brady and you guys having had him gone from washed to now senile. Senile, where he can't remember the downs, that he's having a senior moment last night. This is the situation we're in with Tom Brady. We are no longer in a place where we expect, when Nick Foles has scored, gotten a field goal with a minute 12 left in the game, where we expect, oh, you've left too much time for Tom Brady. What you saw last night is, no, time has caught up to him, rather literally.
But Dan, Tom Brady failing physically is something we expect. When we expect him to struggle at this point, it'll be because of his arm or his legs, not because of his mind. His mind, as Pablo said, is supposed to be what carries him through the season. So seeing his brain, despite all the brain games, which I don't know what that is, fail. I'm picturing like a high-level Sudoku, like Tom Brady.
Yes, that's pretty much what it is.
All right. So seeing him fail because of his brain is actually surprising.
But hold on. I also want to address this from a Mina perspective now, because Mina just then tried to pretend like she doesn't know what a brain game is when she does crossword puzzle apps within like 9 minutes every day of the week. So both of you guys, total frauds.
You know, he's right. He's actually right on that one, Mina. He's got us there.
Crosswords aren't games. They're serious.
Do you see any path for the Lakers to choke away this series?
All right. Choking away a series would not give enough credit, I don't think, to a valiant Miami team if they were willing and ready, well injured, to get past the Lakers and win this thing. But we would crush LeBron if he ended up losing this thing. The flimsy arguments I can make on behalf of the Heat: Tyler Hero is 1-for-9 on wide open threes. That's not the kind of thing that's going to keep repeating itself. Duncan Robinson hasn't been as terrible at any point this season as he's been in these finals in terms of visible from three. Maybe you could shoot your way back into a series, but I know all of you expect it to be Mamba out tonight. I'm guessing that it's black uniforms, it's funeral, it's LeBron is going to get a great Hollywood moment bringing a championship to Los Angeles in the city of Kobe Bryant in the year of his death.
It's over. Not just because of the stifling defense on Jimmy Butler from Anthony Davis, or because without Goran Dragic, the Heat don't really have a secondary playmaker, but because every time the camera pans to LeBron and rests on his face, he looks exactly like my dad when he used to have to take my brother and I to the grocery store. He is freaking over it. Like, he just wants to go home and sit in a dark room and watch a Ken Burns documentary. That man wants out of the bubble, and that is why he is going to close out the series tonight. Like, he is not going to spend another night in Florida.
I don't see my dad and LeBron James, although I do call my dad the LeBron James of Filipino urologists, incidentally. But I do agree with Mina.
Good God.
I do agree with Mina that this is over. I just am not going to go so much farther than that because – I know the question was phrased as, is there a chance the Lakers could choke this away? This is a trap. Like, all you guys want to do in case the Heat actually do pull this out is cut all the words I'm saying except for the phrase, the Heat have no That's shot right. to come back here. That's and then right. they're going to play it back in my face. That's right. So, like, no, right. I see the leaves over the hole in the ground of the forest.
No,
I'm not gonna
say
fall
the
into
thing.
It.
Come on, quit fearing the take and say the thing. Say how over it is, both
it.
Of you. Say
said,
it. Say
I
the
did,
words
I
right
said.
Now.
Wait.
Say it clearly.
It.
Wait, edit the parts where I quoted Mina out, because that
no.
was not my words.
It's
those were her
over.
Words, for the
it's
record.
Over. Poppy, feel free to
Poppy,
use
it
for
is
one
it over?
Of your
Poppy,
taunting videos.
Poppy, is it over? You tell them, Poppy. You can't think it's over.
I'm no worry at all. LeBron is going to get a little tickle in back of his throat, and then...
Oh, God. No.
LeBron is
no,
going to
Poppy.
Choke like in 2011. LeBron is going to choke harder than Russell Wilson in the goal line. Why
oh,
didn't
come
he
on.
Wow. Oh, wow.
They had Marshall Lynch.
No.
LeBron is going to choke harder than the 76ers in the playoffs. Pablo,
oh,
you're still
wow.
a nerd. J.R. Smith is going to forget the score again.
Why?
Anthony
yes.
Davis is going to get another boo-boo and cry like a 7-foot baby again. Wow! The Lakers, more like the Fakers. Jack
oh,
Nicholson,
wow, really?
Oh,
up,
wow. This is
fan.
Very
Magic
long.
Johnson refuses to work for the Lakers. Jerry West refuses to work for the Lakers. Jack Leifer. Amar Odom, Pete Leifer. Corinne
oh, wow.
Bucks Leifer. Paul Gasol, Grizzlies lifer. I have been saying it all along. Heat in 7, no 3-1
okay.
lead is safe. Just ask those shockers in Golden State. It is all going according to plan. They beat the Pacers in 4. They beat the Bucks in 5. They beat Boston in 6. And now they're going
wow.
to the Lakers in 7. Papi has spoken. Miami
I mean...
Heat 2020 NBA champions.
Poppy has spoken. Why did Poppy not stop speaking? That was the longest rant he's ever had on this show.
Will you guys hop back on the Browns bandwagon if they beat the Colts on Sunday?
I'm actually eager to hear what Mina has to say about this because, Pablo, I'm sorry, no knock on your credentials, but I really do think
Very
that
good.
Mina knows what she's talking about when it comes to the deep analysis on these teams. I have seen the Browns have a very good running game. I have seen them beat what I think to be bad teams. I've seen them get smoked by the Ravens. But last year, I saw them smoke the Ravens and then not have a very good season. So they have been good enough against bad teams, and they haven't been very good against the one that made us howl at the beginning of the season because of how they looked against the Ravens when you're thinking of them as competing with the Ravens this year if they were to meet last year's expectations. But I want to hear from Mina on this because I'm actually curious. Are they good or are they not good?
You said actually like four times. I'm actually interested in what Mina has to say. I'm actually curious in her analysis.
At least he's interested.
Really, an enthusiastic endorsement of what I'm about to say. This is the sexiest matchup of the weekend, which is funny not only because it's the Browns and the Colts, but because these are two deeply unsexy teams. Like, for as much as we talk about the Browns playmakers, OBJ, Baker, the strength of this team is now the offensive line. Meanwhile, the Colts actually have the best defense in the NFL up to this point. They rank first in just about every metric, admittedly against some rather lackluster opponents. So to address the question, if the Browns offense can overcome this defense, then yes, by all means, you should jump on the Cleveland bandwagon.
I'm glad we got analysis from a person who once said that her sexuality is Andy Reid going for it on fourth down. I believe that was Amina Kimes' statement, like, which just contextualizes all of Mina's various kinks. I prepared for this segment, on the other hand, by talking to birthday boy Mike Ryan, noted Cleveland Browns fan, who tried to convince me that the Browns actually, having beaten the Washington football team and the Cowboys, like, and the Bengals, that those teams are basically division leaders, and so they should be getting credit for it, when in fact, they all have a combined three wins between three teams. So no, I am not going to jump on the Browns bandwagon. The Browns bandwagon kind of reminds me of a monster truck. Super, super powerful and a lot going on, right? Like, noisy, loud, but it also ends up upside down somehow all the time. Like, I don't want to get into that car. I'm sorry, even if it looks fun for a time.
Have you ever been to a monster truck rally?
God, no.
I know, right? That's so true. That's so true. He was speaking
as an I could tell.
He would never go to a monster truck rally. Yeah.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Nothing. Didn't even try.
That has been a long time since I've laughed like that on television.
I completely missed that element of it.
Do you question if Zach Greinke proved his point effectively?
All right, so Zach Greinke is a bit of an artist here because he's an eccentric personality and he's super interesting. He seemed almost confined by baseball. And so he's here to tell you, it, without saying the actual words, we're really great at baseball. And it's not because we cheated. It's because we're great. Look, I'm going to keep telling you again and again what I'm going to throw to you, and then I'm going to throw it to you, and you're not going to do anything about it. This is the catalog before last night.
Everybody knows what sign they're going with now.
Second sign,
this is incredible. I love Zach. It works. It pops him up. Who wants it? Josh Reddick.
Yeah, it's really hard to hit a baseball when Zach Greinke is throwing it very hard at you. So let's see how this went yesterday. How did it go yesterday with the Astros? Now the surprise deep into the playoffs, even though they weren't very good this season.
Spot.
Oh, it's with men on base. There are no outs. Ooh. And he's telling him what's coming. Oh, are you kidding me? It didn't really work that time. Sometimes you tell him what's coming and it explodes in your face.
I respect that move because it reminds me of when you're playing rock, paper, scissors with somebody and you're like, I'm going to throw paper, rock, paper. But the problem with Zach Greinke is that he began to open his hand like well before he actually threw it. Like, everybody, that was a hanging 85 mile an hour slider. You can say whatever you want. Everyone's going to crush that.
That reminds me of the classic rock, paper, scissors move where you'd kind of put your hand like this and be like, no, actually, that's paper afterwards, even though, you know, kind of was like an interesting thing. I did see some pitchers, some actual MLB pitchers on Twitter, well, actualing this whole storyline and saying he wasn't dipping his pitches, that it was like some weird sign to the catcher and it wasn't giving away. I don't care. I am all in on vilifying the Astros, and I am all in on the Astros making it to the World Series. As someone who has no vested interest in any of these teams, that is clearly the best outcome for the most interesting game, right? Like, we all should be rooting for the Astros to make it to the end and play the Dodgers.
Oh, wow. That's funny that you should say that, though, because I feel like old-timey baseball heads are saying, no, it's got to be Yankees-Dodgers, like in the 70s and the 80s. Like, isn't that what's happening? Or that you want the storyline of the cheaters, not the history of the game?
That is so much more interesting. You don't want to see the bad guy get killed in the second act of the movie.
That's true.
Do you question which catcher should be more ashamed?
All right, so we got youth baseball situations. We're getting out of the playoffs, all these great storylines, these professional storylines that Mina was so excited about. And now we're just giving you youth baseball plays at the plate. We got a first. We got a play at the plate. What happens here?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, he knew that camera was there.
Oh,
that is
no.
Embarrassing.
Wait. Also, how old is that pitcher?
Yo.
Watch him. He looks like someone's dad. Wait, watch him.
Whoa. He's wearing blue jeans?
Is he wearing jeans? Wait a minute.
I was so focused on the kid that I missed the fact that there was an actor playing the role of a child, very unconvincingly.
A nearby plumber in jeans came over to me.
Your kids still play baseball wearing jeans?
Wearing jeans.
What is this?
Wait a minute. Why covert, is he wearing jeans?
Covert Wrangler SponCon of a video. What? None of this makes any sense.
All right, hold on a second. So now we've got a second video. We got a 2-ball count. Hold on here. We got a 2-ball count or a 2-1 count. What do we have here? All right. Ball three. Oh, ball three.
Oh,
you got to tag him. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you the bases were loaded. Okay, but unless this video has a picture of a 45-year-old plumber in jeans interloping in a game, then there's no dispute which is the better video here.
Everything about that guy, man.
He barges in.
I want to watch it again, but we can't. We got to finish the show.
I just love him. The idea of him just running in from he was working on a sink nearby, and he just ran over and then got in the video.
I just love, as I said, that kid who made that incredibly athletic play is going to get like, you're on ESPN, man. And he's going to turn it on and we're going to be dialed in on the team pitcher.
He's going to be like, oh yeah, I grabbed my crotch and everything. They're definitely going to use that, of course. How could they possibly not show me?
Again.
Front flipping and grabbing my crotch. Look, all this, and why? Why is that man there?
So I type a text to a girl I used to see saying that I choose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I see every girl that I see around town. And I hate to see your frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Wetness all around me, true, but I'm no island. Peninsula maybe. It makes no sense. I'm not crazy.